Hi, guys. Welcome to LSD. It's your girl, Sadia G.
And Irina Lee, what's up?
Don't you just love how our names kind of like coincide with one another? It's like Sadia G and Irina Lee hosting your favorite podcast, LSD. Oh, okay. Someone sign me. Sign me. I'm ready. Oh, man. So our topic today is wifely duties with no ring. And I'm going to promise not to yell. And I'm going to promise not to scream. And I'm going to promise not to get everything passionate, too passionate, because baby, it's a no for me. I get it, as you know, you want to set yourself off from the competition. You want to be someone who can look, someone who's caring, and you want to give that part to the other person. But when is too much too much? When is you doing it just because it's something that you want to do and it's something that's just you, and then it almost becoming an expectation that person is setting over your head, like, in order for you to be seen as wifey, you've got to be washing my clothes and cooking my food and picking up my dry cleaning. And I'm like, you don't even know if you want to be with me yet. Why am I doing all of this stuff?
I think going above and beyond in that way requires some form of commitment to feel secure and safe. Nothing is promised, right? Because at the end of the day, I feel like any relationship, including marriage, that we get into, anything can happen. You can separate, you know, but there's more safety, there's more security, there's more comfort, and it could be reciprocated once both of those people are on the same page and love each other and are aiming to honor one another. My problem is when you're doing those wifely duties and you're not getting any reciprocation, there's no commitment. It's like, again, like, if for me, I find it insane for anybody, in this case, it's wifely duties, for any male to require that of you because of competition. My boy, I'm not giving you all those different things that you are wanting, washing your clothes and cooking you dinner. Like, first of all, love sees a need, meets a need, but love is from I think if you're not married, it's from a place of kindness and generosity and maybe even just like, you know, this is my way of just doing this every so often because I can, not because I need to prove myself to you. So I'm not doing those things personally. And it's I have to give the props to Sadia because Sadia held it down. You know what I'm saying? I know she's very passionate about this specific subject right here. Yeah, shouts out to Sadia because I know she's very, very passionate about this specific topic and she's not the one to be taken advantage of. And she's an advocate for everyone who should not be taken advantage of. So yes.
I wish y'all could see how wide my eyes are open right now. They're literally the eyelid, the top of the eyelid and the bottom of the eyelid are touching each other in the back of my eye. That's how wide my eyes are open.
You hear them trying to stay calm.
I am an equal opportunity wifely, husbandly duties are dedicated to wives and husbands. And men, that includes paying a woman's bills, okay? Women and a lot of people are like, well, what are those duties, Sadia? Like, what do you consider wifely duties? What do you consider husbandly duties, right? And it is that sense of, Irene calls it like a mindset, right? I have got to make sure that my husband eats, right? I've got to make sure that this family eats. I've got to make sure that this family has a clean home. I've got to make sure that, you know, my husband has clean shirts for work. If he goes to work and he wears, you know, button ups, like if he does college, whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's your obligation as a wife to take care of the other half and the other half's obligation to take care of you. When you're in a relationship, that almost shouldn't be an obligation just yet, mm-hmm. Right? So man, that includes paying a woman's bills. Like if you want to do that, it should be because you want to do it, not because you're guilt tripped into it. Like, oh, if you don't do it, you don't love me. I ain't fucking with you. I'm gonna go talk to somebody else. We'll go talk to someone else.
Yeah, I've been married before. We've talked about this, Sonia, where In the beginning stages of me and my ex's relationship, he spent a lot of time with his mom, right? So in that, being that we were engaged to be married and stuff like mm-hmm. that, I saw how close and how dependent he was on his mom, his family, mm-hmm. his mom and dad, basically. And it just irked me. It sent a whole other like flow in my spirit that just wasn't registering. Because I knew that transition of basically leaving and cleaving your parents and going into your own unit wouldn't have been an easy one side for a side. And even though I had the right to be like, okay, wait, hold on. Like, this is going to have to be this because now we're this and we can't depend on them for this, 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 and this. Mm-hmm. I didn't allow what I would call like a rites of passage because he was still living with his mother. And I was living alone with family nearby because my mom had left to the States and I was basically living in her home by myself, taking care of that or whatever the case is. And he was living with his mom. And for me, it was just like, okay, like if we're getting married, then we should get to the point where you need to completely not be dependent on them and spend more time with me. You shouldn't be by your mom 24/7. And now, even though I feel like there's a part to that, that should be a transitioning stage because you're about to become husband and wife on your own. I felt like I still took away, now that I'm looking at in my mature state of mind and now being single, so to speak, I look at that and I didn't allow the rites of passage because in order to be a leaving and cleaving, there has to be you kind of like processing that moment. You haven't really got there yet. You're about to. So it's like he's still there. He still needs to honor his mom. He still needs to respect her. Even if he wasn't living with her, that mm-hmm. that relationship is still, you know. So sometimes what we do is we jump the gun because we want to rush things. We want our relationship to be a certain way. And we put our expectations as on their life, basically. And you got to be really careful with that because we haven't even got to marriage yet. We're getting there. Mm-hmm. And when we get there, this ain't gonna fly, you know, mm-hmm. because there's another whole other source of commitment and source of love now that we're living off of, mm-hmm. but we're not there yet. So why are we doing all of this and prematurely? So mm-hmm. I see that with relationships, how easy it can be outside of that committed relationship, outside of that marriage, and to be rolling in this, like you said, mindset and doing all these things. And there's nothing reciprocated. You're not even in a relationship. You're not even engaged. Like, but I think that at the end of the day, to do things like cook and, you know, again, it shouldn't be an obligation. It should be from the kindness of my heart. And then when we get into that marriage, now we're a team. So we have to work as a unit. So now this is something we do to help not only benefit me, but to help each other, help the family and to progress. You know, so it's a fulfilling thing, even though it's a very tedious, weighty thing. But I think sometimes we just jump the damn gun.
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, at this stage in my life, I am, I'm not interested in moving in with no one. I'm not interested in anyone moving in with me, right? I like my space. I like, you know, I, however, will do it in the right circumstance for the right person in that environment that we both deem is we're going somewhere. I'm not just moving in, no boyfriend, in my home with my 14-year-old girl in the house, you know. And sometimes, you know, some guys are like, well, you know, we should move in together. You should go move in with someone else. You should go play with someone else because you can't come. You're not about to come into my home, or I'm not about to uproot Ariana and have her come into your home, right? And now we're in a situation where we're cohabitating and there's no sense of my daughter's looking at me like, so we just move boyfriends in, you know? And she's that kind of kid. She will ask you, so we just move boyfriends in, right? And that's not the example that I'm trying to set either. You know, a lot of people asked me, well, hey, how come you didn't have any more kids? Your daughter's 14. You know, how come you didn't? And I'm like, hey, every relationship didn't need a baby. Every relationship didn't even need unprotected sex. Every relationship, I don't need a reminder that I was in a relationship with you. Some of them, if I can have my vagina back, I probably would take it back because really and truly, you didn't deserve none of which I gave you. You were unworthy. I don't know. And I don't even know what I was thinking. You know, someone slapped me out of that era because I was really ridiculous. So I'm just not interested in having her see that and having her think that this is status quo and this is okay. You know, you need to see a healthy progression of a relationship. And I have been tasked with that duty to be able to show you that, right? As the custodial parent, the one, not saying like custody, but she lives here with me. So a lot of the times she's going to do what she sees and not what I tell her to do, right? So yeah. I have to do the right thing. So no, you just can't have a guy running in and out of here as he pleases, you know, because this is my home. This is my place of peace. This is my place of Zen. This is the place where I come to decompress. This is the place where I have built, you know, my sanctuary around. So you don't just get to come here and not have good intentions for me and for this and come kind of disturb that peace, knowing good and well you have no intentions of making a wife out of me. Leave me alone. And a lot of people are like, oh, well, Sadia, you know, you're so mean. You could just walk away from people. Listen, when you have become a pillar and you stand on your own, you have no problem when you feel people leaning on you to back up and let them keep leaning. Because I am the only person who's going to be leaning on me right now is a person who I put one on as a dependent when I file for taxes via the IRS. Okay. And until my status changes to married, you don't get to come disturb my peace. Right. And I feel in that state of marriage when a man has said, okay, well, you know what, Sadia? I could see us doing this thing. Let's get on this crazy roller coaster ride called marriage. And I'll be like, you know what? I think we should have a yearly check-in just to see if we want to proceed into the next year being married, right? You'll be like, hey, so how was last year for you? Well, motherfucker, it was a wild ride. And I think I'll renew my subscription for this marriage thing for next year. I just, those are the kind of conversations I think I'm okay with once married. Until then, I'm okay being single and people telling me, well, you not cooking and you not cleaning and you not taking care of me is very ungirlfriend-like of you and nobody will ever see you as a wife unless you're doing those things. Please understand, I am also very happy single. You know, yes. So I'm also very happy single. Will I like a husband? Yes, because sometimes I like the temperature on 68 and it gets a little chilly in here, a little burp, right? But it's not a requirement, okay? Because I can pay my own bills. I can travel on my own. And thank God I can afford those type of things that way I am not out here like, oh my God, I need to get married because I need somebody to take care of me. Oh my God, I need to get married. I need somebody to take care of me. That moving out of desperation brings you everything that you don't need, like a lot of undesirables. And I think it kind of messes up the art of discernment. When you're in your peace and in your comfort zone, you're able to say, not you. Nah, not you. I'm good. Not you. And you know what you could do? You could put on your shades and go to Mimosa Sundays with your homegirls and be like, girl, it's lit. But until then, I'm chilling. I know I ranted a bit, but go ahead.
Nah. You said something, you know, basically when it's a certain space that you're in peace, that you're able to think so clearly. And a lot of the times when you're not in that state of peace, it's because you are in desperation of someone to love you and to prove that love to that person. And if you're in desperation, it's most likely because you don't know how to love yourself and learn how to be on by yourself and learn how to love on yourself. And so you require it for somebody else. And that state of mind, that constant trying to gain somebody else's approval, make somebody else happy. And we're talking about you are withholding your own needs and not having any standards and loving yourself, it doesn't allow you to think clearly because it comes from a place of people pleasing. Mm-hmm. And people pleasing comes from a place of fear. And that fear is basically to be alone because you'll do anything to be wanted and desired. And that's something I know because I know it a lot. Okay. I'm like, it's just me. It's a lot of females have been there at one point. For me personally, I see the difference and I'm holding on at this moment of my life to that peace. While I'm still enjoying life and people and being cherished to some degree and the next, I am learning to just be okay with myself. The minute I start to see that I'm people pleasing and I'm going after you and it's not reciprocated, I'm trying to bend my back backwards because I'm a very passionate lover in all that I do and not just sex and everything that I do, emotional, everything. I realize that I'm now overextending myself. And once I start to do that, every part of my life becomes off balance. Mm-hmm. But that means that the root is my mind and my emotions are not in a place where they're honoring myself. And when we oppose those important factors that we deserve to give to ourselves, we end up in situations where we are doing wifely duties without the ring. Like, I mean, fully, if you really think about it. Again, there is nothing wrong with love seeing a need and meeting a need. And just being a kind person. If you're a giver, I know people that are naturally givers and that's how they love and they do that with friends. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like I got friends like that, you know, and it's just like, here. Okay. It's funny because it's like, I don't like to cook, you know, but I mean, I don't like to cook for myself. I do it because I need to. But when it comes to the people that I love, once I know I can, that's a love language.
You go by Irene and you hungry, Irene will have the pot. You better believe it. No question. Yes. We'll order pizza and Chinese food.
Sometimes, I remember there was a time a friend of mine, a male friend, you might know Darren, right? So he comes by the house and I remember he was trying to chill and usually we have our little gatherings. Mm-hmm. And in this case, it was just him that evening. And I was like, okay, we're going to do some wine. We're going to chill home. Boy, brought some like dumb cheese and crackers and some chicken and stuff. And I know but he brought some stuff for me to cook at like 9 o'clock at night. And I looked at homeboy like, you're kidding, right? You ain't serious. Like, you ain't serious. You trying to have me cook at this time of night? And the fuck that I cooked, I just gave him this. I gave him this look like, you lucky I actually love you and I care because I was not doing this for anybody, you know? Mm-hmm. But I do it. And when I get into, I think it's, again, y'all, I was married. I was with somebody for 9.5 years. I had to tend to them. And it is, in some cases, it does feel like an obligation. In that case, it was a heavy obligation. It was expectation. And I love the fact that I've talked to men that's like, yo, we could eat out. We could do this. We could do that. You don't always have to cook. That is such a blessing. But I'm not trying to rush. Let me tell you, my friends, I am not trying to rush back into that stage of fulfilling somebody else's desires and meeting their needs because I have to. I love this single season of my life with me and my daughter. If I want to make a peanut, my daughter can't eat peanut butter. If I want to make a ham sandwich with mayonnaise and that's what I feel like eating with a side salad for me and my daughter, that is exactly what I'm going to do.
I feel like dinner is grilled cheese, right? Facts. With three different types of cheeses, I don't have to worry about someone saying, huh? Right? This is beneath you me. And I think a lot of the times, like, you know, and we talked about it in Clubhouse, like when you're overexerting yourself, it's almost like a shart. Is it a fart or is it shit? Either which way, if you force it, it's not good, right? So I want a situation where, like, I might not necessarily cook. I have been cooked for, right? I have also cooked. But I also have cooked because it's like, I had a friend come over and help me fix my brakes, right? My brakes needed replacing. So he came over, got up underneath the car, da 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 da. And I was like, hey, you hungry? And he's like, yeah. I was like, I was about to go upstairs and stew up some chicken and some rice. You hungry? And he's like, yeah. I could use a plate of food. And at that time, I was like, okay, I'm gonna make some stew chicken and some rice. But it's because I was already doing it. But believe it or not, while I'm not a big cooker for a lot of romantic relationships, if I don't know where we stand, Because that's the thing. I need to know, I need to be secure in what the F bad word this is before I go out doing all of these things, even if it's out of love, right? I want to know where we stand. Are we on the same page as far as wants, needs, and expectations? And I'm going to have that conversation with you super early. A lot of times women do it and then they're angry, but they're angry because they're exhausted. And they're exhausted from doing it for the wrong people and too many guys over a course of time. You're not angry, honey. You might need a Snickers, but just back up a little bit and let that man reciprocate rather than you just throwing all of your love at him. You remember, you ever watch Looney Tunes? You remember Looney Tunes? Okay. You remember the little girl who used to squeeze the living shit out of the Animaniacs? I'm going to love him again and squeeze him. And half of the time she doesn't know she's damn near killing the animal, but she's just squeezing him with all of her love. She's just smothering him with all of her love. You just gotta like let the scale kind of balance out rather than you going to the moon and back for someone you're not even sure really likes you just yet, or will do the same for you. Half of the time, some of these women are doing it for men that won't even piss on them if they were on fire.
Yo, I am the type of person that once I enjoy your presence and your company, even though I find myself and the people in my life are like, Irina's always doing something, right? Once I'm able to put out time aside for you and just enjoy your company, like that's just who I am. And so if I meet somebody and I'm like, oh my God, I like the personality and we have chemistry and it's like, let's link up. Da-da-da. You know, I'm naturally one of those that's like, let's do this, let's do that, let's do that. And so when it comes to the relational aspect with somebody that I'm interested in, it's easy being that too now, because now it's like, I really like you. Like if anybody I want to be sitting out sipping on some wine and eating some good food is you, you know what I'm saying? Like, so I have to be really.
It could be one, y'all. I ready to cook the shit out of this.
I don't think I'm that much of a food lover, you know. I think once I get inside that place, if I love you, yeah, I'm gonna be like, you want this, you want that, I'll bring it to you, I'll do this, da-da. But me, I'm like, I just want to spend time with the people that I appreciate when I have that time, more so the relational person that I can see, or my mind back in the day would be like, oh my God, I think he's like maybe the one. Now I'm like, nah, fam, we taking time with this crap. But I can easily get into that place where I offer myself and I want your time and I'm definitely a quality timer.
Yes.
And I myself have to be, I'm a quality timer. I'm a love, love of affirmations, word of affirmation, yeah, and physical touch.
Mm-hmm.
So those things are really easy to dive too deep in before you should. So I have to be, people like me, or at least me, I gotta be really careful how I engage. Once I don't see that reciprocation mm-hmm. on the level that it's at, for some people it's too much. And that means what I've learned in this journey, and when you can't meet those needs, is that you're not the one for me. You yeah. don't even stand a chance, because Irene is way too much of a socialite and a loving, out there, outgoing person for you not to have those same kind of qualities with me, because now we're going
to
be completely
have to align.
Yeah. So I found myself in the past really overexerting myself, wanting that so badly, and that person and those people not giving me that, regret yeah. it later, but not giving me that in that moment. And I'm like, now that I identify it, I'm like, nah, because I need that.
Yeah. I remember, I don't know if I'm a quality timer, but I know that I love men who have a lot going on, because I've got a lot going on. I've had my brother always tell me, it's like, dude, you're just not happy unless you've got 10 million things going on at the same time. And I'm like, yeah, I juggle a lot around here, right? So I had, I feel as someone who has a pretty busy schedule, I've got a kid that does more sports and practices than I can keep up with. And now she's going to be trying out for the track team, right? So as if my weekends weren't already shot to shit. So to know that someone will clear their Saturday for me is probably one of the sweetest things that I think a guy can do or has done. I remember one time I was out into Beep City. No, guys, I didn't really do that. I did that with my mouth. And I was hanging out with this guy and we went for this walk, 3-mile nature walk. It was so cute because we just kind of talked and walked, right? And then went back to his house, and he was like, are you hungry? And I'm, you know, I'm a little munchy. And he made me tacos, and we watched ESPN, right? We were watching lacrosse games because, you know, if anyone knows, my daughter plays lacrosse. And yeah, we were watching a softball game. And we were just kind of talking and chatting. And then while he was like making tacos for me, I was like, wow, this is so sweet. Like he's really kind of sweet. So while he cooked and we ate, I cleaned the kitchen, right? And a lot of people are like, oh, well, he made tacos. And I'm like, but it's the cutest thing to me. It's cute to me, right? You don't have to like it, Paul. You know, I like it because it's quality time with someone that I appreciate spending time with because it's always a good vibe with this person. Plus, we be ready to leave parties at the same time, girl, and that shit is unmatched. I don't know. And like, girl, we be ready to leave parties at the same time because... One time we were at a party together and I was like, man, you ready to go? He's like, I've been waiting for you. Nice. I'm like, I'll meet you out. That is a great quality. And I'm not sure why it's not in those categories of love languages because that's a love language. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, I see. And that's the thing right there. Like, I think it varies for different situations. And everybody's different, right? So are you being reciprocated? Are you both reciprocating that energy? Is it too premature? Because that's a big factor. You don't want to be reciprocating that energy and you don't even know if you like this person yet. You have to be very careful. Everything I think in life is a balance. And the more mature you become, you realize that shit can slow the fuck down. And you don't have to take everything, put all your eggs in a basket. And you have to be really careful with that. So I think the way you do that is that you really take time getting to know what you like from what you don't like. Yeah. Take the time getting to know the person. Enjoy it. And I'm not telling you not to enjoy a person. I'm not telling you to have fun. I'm not telling you to withhold yourself in fear. But at the same time, I think anything done slow is made well. And your slow may not be my slow. Now I'm saying, but at the end of the day, don't rush into it. Don't just start offering everything. It sets the atmosphere for things to fall apart quickly. And you want to make sure that it's worth it.
You know what I think it, you know, I just thought about this while you were saying it. Love is conch. Okay. You ever tried to boil conch quickly and see how it tasted? Any of the non-Caribbean people out there don't know what conch is. It is like a shellfish, right? And it takes a long time for it to get soft. Because if you pull conch out prematurely, you would rather be eating a balloon. You'd rather be chewing on a wallet, okay? Because conch is one of those things, it's gonna take some time. It's like, okay, to my American friends out there, it's like putting chicken in a crock pot and it's been sitting in that crock pot just marinating all day. And when you pull it off the bone, it's like some really good ribs or it just falls off the bone. It's going to take time, right? So you coming out the gate 2 weeks in, like Irene said, and you cooking and cleaning and cleaning and cooking, constantly dishing and cleaning up. Sorry, I mean, that's the webby sound. But it's take your time with it and enjoy it. Because at this stage, you're supposed to be enjoying each other and not necessarily feeling obligated to constantly do things to show that you're different from everybody else. You know, listen, I don't think my stepmom cooked my dad a meal. I don't think so. I can't remember. I can't remember. And I'm telling you, my dad is definitely the better cook. I think out of both of his marriages, even the marriage with my mom, he was the better cook. And I ideally, I don't remember her doing a whole lot of stuff like that, right? And I think it was just something different that he fell in love with. And we've moved away from that so much as a culture and a community of people that we're not really spending the time that we should to create building blocks for sturdy relationships. So then when the waves come and they swipe, you know, the foundation of sand from up underneath your relationship, you're like, what happened? You build your foundation in the sand. What do you think was going to happen? Right?
Yeah.
What do you think was going to happen?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's different stages of our lives where we have more wisdom next. It just, it just reminds me. I don't know if you ever heard the song. So funny. India Ari in Good Trouble. I'm in good trouble with you. So it talks about, I think as human beings. I love
India Ari too.
Yo, don't even get me started. This is okay. But I think with that song specifically, if you check it out, it's called India Ari in Good. Let me just make sure I'm like quoting the right thing, right? Because you look up the song. How come I can't find a song? In Good Trouble, India Ari. And she's talking about how she feels about this guy. Mm. And when you listen to the song, and she's a great writer. Of I think course. This is something that we all experience. Or she wrote the songs. I don't even know if she wrote the song, but but we all experience when we feel that chemistry with someone and we think we're in love, but we're so infatuated in the idea of what it could be, right? In the beginning stages. When you hear this song, every time I hear this song, I think it's so beautiful because it reminds me of how quickly we engage and we start going into what if mode, right? And then at the end of the song, after she talks about this guy so exquisitely and how she feels, and she's imagining what it would be if that guy's hand was on her thigh and what he would be like in bed and how he read. She's like, I only know him for 7 days. And you're like, wait, hold on, wait, what? After that whole song, it's hilarious. So wait, listen to that, right? A week, and she's talking about like kids and marriage, but it sounds, you hear me out though. It just
my eyes are huge.
It's such a beautiful song. And when you hear it, I don't care who you are as a female. I definitely feel male too, but more females, you could resonate with that because we've all been in that lovey warm. Whoo, they make me feel like And then you have to remind yourself, damn. I don't know you that very long, and take your time to guide your feelings, to direct them, you know, because as human beings, we are just like flowing, and you don't want to be rigid. You don't want to be rigid. You want to be open, but at the same time, you want to keep in mind that, you know, life is precious. And if you move too fast, you can mess a good thing up. So start training yourself to identify the reality of what's going on, and get to know a person. And before diving in too quickly, just take your time. Like, it's really easy for your mind to wander, to think, oh my God, I could be married and I could do this and what it would be like in bed and Jesus Christ. But at the same time, you got to like reset and be like, hold on, baby girl. Hold on, baby boy. You're moving too fast. Let's take it easy. Let's let's keep things in perspective. Keep things in perspective.
I agree. So what wise words from the great Irene Ali do we have before we close out this great episode? Like, what are we going to leave our listeners with?
Enjoy all facets of life, including your own. Remember that with your life begins everything. Everything flows from there. If you don't know how to honor and love and give to yourself what you desire for somebody else, you're always going to, that relationship will always fall severely short. But once you are able to balance that out, learn to balance that out amongst other people, know that not every relationship that you run into has to be given so much obligation and fulfillment. Like, take time to know people, get to be friends, get to enjoy them outside of expectations. And don't offer yourself up so quickly. And if you give anything, give it from a place of love, not expecting it in return, but also be careful because you want to make sure that reciprocation is a thing. You shouldn't ask for it, but if it's going to be something that's given constantly, it should be reciprocated.
Okay.
That's just
Listen to those great words. I would definitely say, you said to enjoy all facets of life. I would also say to enjoy all facets of dating. Enjoy building a friendship. Enjoy each other without feeling that sense of I've got to do this to be better than, or don't make you doing stuff for them the biggest priority, right? It should definitely be, the priority should be getting to know them. The priority should be, do I like them? Do they like me? Are we compatible? Can I take them to brunch and they not chew like they crazy? Like, can I take them to places that I like, right? If you like reggae and he likes soca, like, can you guys both enjoy each other's venue without feeling like, me want to be hanging on, right? Mm-hmm. Enjoy those things. If you want to do those duties that you would more so commonly find in someone obligated to someone through a sense of paper and a bunch of people that you probably never see again, AKA marriage, do it because that's what you want to do, and not do it because you're expecting something from the other person, or it's like, yeah, you should be doing this for me because blah, 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 I used to do it. Okay, you know what? You know what? Well, listen, go back to letting them do it because that's always a thing too. Yeah, so that's my final thoughts. Dating should be fun, man. You know, I remember when I used to date this one guy, some of the most fun times we had was sitting down playing Halo, Call of Duty. You know what I'm saying? Like, I used to shoot him up all the time because you didn't know I had brothers. I had people that still don't speak to me because they never won a game of Mario Kart, because I wait till I was right behind them. And then I used to have Yoshi. Yeah. You know, Yoshi used to do his little, you know, boop, boop. And I used to wait right behind them and then wait till we got to the finish line and fire that red shell. Bah! And then I'd be in first, they'd be in second. Whew. Silent assassin, maybe. Oh, man. We just put too much expectations on it. As I said, I always look at my parents and I'm like, you know, I want that. I want that happy stuff. The hard times are going to come, but I want that happy stuff. This stuff that we doing right now, these courthouse marriages be lasting longer than the ones that these people be spending a whole lot of money on anyway. That's just me. My wedding dress is coming from Shein.
But my thing is, again, like, just take your time and let it flow. Keep it light and fun. I think when you keep your expectations out there, you keep your heart open, keep it light and fun. And my thing is, if something is supposed to happen, it will. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If something is supposed to build, it will. You will see it play out. But when you start to push things and offer yourself up too much, man, you're putting yourself in a position where you end up
burnout.
You want to protect yourself. I know this is wifely duties, but in general, you want to protect yourself, and because whatever you offer will then be expected of you moving forward, and they get comfortable. People get really comfortable. Don't put yourself in a position where people get comfortable and abuse you. Make sure they appreciate you, and they don't deserve all of you just yet. You're precious, you know, you're valuable, and they can get bits and pieces of you and appreciate that and slowly and gradually work into the rest of it, and vice versa.
Yeah, listen, if you can appreciate the omelet I'm making you now because I'm like, hey, what are you doing? Wanna have breakfast? Right?
Yeah.
Imagine what you could get when you're my man.
All right.
Right?
Okay.
Right? Just imagine, right? I'm just gonna give you a little razzle dazzle right now, right? But imagine what you can get once you become that. I'm willing to do this for any and everybody right now. But I always feel like I am happier giving something because I love someone and I want to see the look on their face when they're getting it, rather than something done out of obligation, right?
Yep.
Something done out of obligation, I'll probably drop it in your lap because it's like, I really don't want to be here anyway. But if it's something I'm doing because I love you and I want you to be happy and you smiling makes me happy, me serving you and doing things for you makes me happy. This is a different side of Sadia that a lot of people haven't gotten, right? And I would say probably one guy in the guy in the men that I've dated. Irene, we've got to do an episode talking about the guys that I fumbled, because baby.
Okay, let's do it. We can.
Baby. But we're going to go ahead and close out this one. This one was a really good one. And I think, Irene, we're probably going to have to do a part two of this one, because I feel like I'm much calmer. I'm much calmer. And I like that.
You did good. Gotta be that. Let me tell you something.
So once the neck starts rolling, and the teeth start sucking, you already, he won't tell me what. Thank you guys for listening. And stay tuned for next week's episode. This is Sadia G.
And Irene Ali. We love you guys.
Bye.